Susanna tried to pull her gaze from that steadily pulsing glow, and at first couldn't do it. Panic bloomed in her mind. If he fascinates you and tells you to jump. And she seized it as a tool, compressing it to an edge with which to cut through her frightened immobility. For a moment, nothing happened. And then she threw herself backward so violently in the shabby little cart that she had to clutch the edge in order to keep herself from tumbling to the cobbles. The wind gusted again, blowing stone dust and grit against her face and into her hair, seeming to mock her. But that pull, fascination, glamour, whatever it had been, it was gone. She looked at the dog cart, so she thought it, whether that was the right name or not, and saw at once how it worked. Simple enough, too. With no mule to draw it, she was the mule. It was miles from the sweet, light little chair they'd found in Topeka, and light years from being able to walk on the strong legs that had conveyed her from the little park to the hotel. God, she missed having legs. Missed it already. But you made do. She seized hold of the cart's wooden wheels, strained, produced no movement, strained harder. Just as she was deciding she'd have to get out of the chair and hop-crawl her ignominious way to where Mia waited, the wheels turned with a groaning, oilless creak. She rumbled toward Mia, who was standing behind a squat stone pillar. There were a great many of these, marching away into the dark along a curve. Susanna supposed that once upon a time, before the world had moved on, archers would have stood behind them for protection while the assaulting army fired their arrows or red-hot catapults or whatever you call them. Then they'd step into the gaps and fire their own weapons. How long ago had that been? What world was this? And how close to the Dark Tower? Susanna had an idea it might be very close indeed. She pushed the balky, gawky, protesting cart out of the wind and looked at the woman in the serape, ashamed to be so out of breath after moving less than a dozen yards, but unable to help panting. She drew down deep breaths of the dank and somehow stony air. The pillars, she had an idea they were called Merlins or something like that, were on her right. On her left was a circular pool of darkness surrounded by crumbling stone walls. Across the way, two towers rose high above the outer wall, but one had been shattered, as if by lightning or some powerful explosive. "This where we stand is the allure," Mia said, "the wall walk of the castle on the abyss, once known as Castle Discordia. You said you wanted fresh air. I hope this does you, as they say in the Kala. This is far beyond there, Susanna. This is deep in End World, near the place where your quest ends, for good or for ill." She paused and then said, "For ill, almost surely. Yet I care nothing for that. No, not I. I am Mia, daughter of none, mother of one. I care for my chap and nothing more. Chap be enough for me, aye. Would you palaver? Fine, I'll tell you what I may and be true. Why not? What is it to me, one way or the other?" Susanna looked around. When she faced in toward the center of the castle, what she supposed was the courtyard, she caught an aroma of ancient rot. Mia saw her wrinkle her nose and smiled. "Aye, they're long gone. And the machines, the later ones left behind, are mostly stilled, but the smell of their dying lingers, doesn't it? The smell of death always does. Ask your friend, the gunslinger, the true gunslinger. He knows, for he's dealt his share of it. He is responsible for much, Susanna of New York. The guilt of worlds hangs around his neck like a rotting corpse. Yet he's gone far enough with his dry and lusty determination to finally draw the eyes of the great. He will be destroyed, aye, and all those who stand with him.